Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to ActiveQuest episode 126. I'm one of your hosts, Joseph Yaden. Joining me today is the beautiful British boy, Chris Penlow. How's it going, Chris?
It sounded like you were hesitant to say, call me beautiful today.
It might
be my weird hair, or I don't know, the shirt I'm wearing. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to comment on like your shirt, but I'm like, well, there's nothing really notable about that. Maybe your headphones. You have interesting headphones. I don't know.
Yes, the Arctic White.
Yeah, how are those working for you, by the way?
Good. Yeah, I did do a review on them a few weeks ago, and I'm liking them.
No, you are beautiful. Normally you're wearing like a weird shirt, not weird, but like a memorable shirt, or you've right. got that one time you had a Mickey Mouse hat on or something.
So that was for Christmas.
Or last week you were like your whole country was on fire, so. So I think I mentioned that you were toasty, I think is what I
but
said.
So I will say this, my other country, England, are doing very well in the Euros 2020.
And beautiful.
Yeah, it's coming home. Football's coming home. I'm confident this time.
You hear that, Moses? He's in my lap. If football's coming home, he's licking me. Okay, well. And nonetheless, hello, Chris. It's a good sign. Chris, Josh is out this week. They are taking a mental health break day, which I advocate for. Totally fine. Josh has been working very hard the past few weeks, so I think it's okay that they take a little break.
And it's very PlayStation-centric this week, so I think it kind of makes sense that he takes a break.
And Josh hates PlayStation. So it's okay. Hope Josh gets some nice rest tonight. Chris.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some video games.
Mm.
How do you feel about that? Are you down for some video game talk?
I'm down with the sickness. Yes, I'm down with the video game addiction sickness.
Hold on, I have to tell a quick story that now that you mentioned that. So one time, oh my god, I was getting ready to go to the Summer Slaughter tour, which is it's basically an all day like metal fest.
That
but
sounds
it's like
sketch as fuck.
It's like heavy ass metal, like Cannibal Corpse and like Decapitated and Nihil and Dying Fetus, all these like heavy fucking
yikes.
Like bands that you like would not show your grandma, right? So I was like getting ready to leave for that, and my cousin was over and he goes, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm going to a metal show. It's Summer Slaughter, you know? Decapitated is headlining. That's funny, by the way. Decapitated is headlining. Anyway. So he goes, oh, metal bands, cool. Like Disturbed. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here, man. This is bad. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, sure, Disturbed. And then I go listen to fucking these just disgustingly heavy bands that are like
wash your bloody hands, you know? Like
Yeah. You have to like take a shower after you listen to them. So yeah. Who was that? The Faceless was it? Man, the Faceless is fucking. Anyway, I could go on and on about nerdy metal bands. Anyway, We probably lost all of our listeners at this point. Please. We're going to talk about some video games. Before we get into that, though, remember you can always find us on Twitter at ActiveQuest Show via email at activequestpodcast@gmail.com and share the show. Keep those iTunes ratings. I keep saying iTunes. I'm never going to get that right. Apple Podcast ratings coming. It helps us out. We'll read them on the show if you leave us a rating. So please do that. Thank you for the support. Thank you for listening to us. Chris.
Yes.
Let's talk about some video games. So I'll lay out. So what we're gonna do? We don't have any listener questions this week, which is actually fine because, I would love listener questions, but we have a little bit more time to get into some news here, and with Josh being out, we can talk about more news as well since there's only two of us. So, lots of PlayStation stuff this week though. PS Plus games. Housemarque was acquired by Sony. Actually, another studio was acquired by Sony as well. So we'll jump into that. What else? Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. I'm actually going to move some of this around, Chris, on the run of show here, just to kind of get everything together here. Let me just... Actually, you know what? This is actually fine. I'm bad at reading. Okay. Konami and Bloober Team have a partnership together, so that a lot of people have been talking about Silent Hill. I feel like people have been talking about Silent Hill for the past like year and a half. And then a little game called Dead Space is coming back. I've been playing Returnal, which is a good video game. Speaking of Housemarque, and Chris, you've been playing Death's Door and Smash Bros.
Yes.
I thought it looked like you had something to say about Dead Space. Sorry.
No, I just want to say as well, I think we forgot this on the show, so I wanted to comment on it quickly. Apparently Kojima Productions has inked a deal with Xbox. That's their rumor right now. So that's quite fascinating to me.
Yeah, it is. With it being like a kind of a rumor at this point, I don't know that I want to get too far into the discussion with that. Well, at least in terms of like the reporting side of things, just because rumors happen all the time in video games, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's pretty likely
because we saw a Kojima figure behind Phil Spencer in one of his videos, and points to some announcements.
Yeah. It's so weird that that's like what people are going off of, but like, history has shown that that is true, and Phil Spencer and all these people, they know that fans are like expecting that. Like even back to the days of like, you know, Phil Spencer wearing a shirt, you know, a specific shirt during E3 or whatever. Sean Layden when he was at PlayStation wearing a Crash Bandicoot shirt or whatever the case is. So yeah, fans are definitely looking for that. By the way, the people, speaking of Kojima, there's a petition for Kojima to not make an Xbox. Did you see this? This is so stupid. I forget what it is, but Kojima is betraying his loyal fans by making an Xbox game, and it had like 42 signatures on it, which is like nothing, right? But like that's still 42 people that are fucking morons. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, let's do a couple quick stories here. Actually, I don't know, Chris, this run of show, there's a lot of stuff we could dive into here, but I did want to just comment quickly on this Ghost of Tsushima director's cut. So this is basically, it's an enhanced version of the game, better performance, things like that. The one thing I wanted to comment, aside from the like extra island, Ikishima, which is pretty cool, it's like a totally new content, is I think the pricing model for this is kind of all over the place, and it's a little confusing. So some people are just mad that they have to pay extra money. Well, that's kind of dumb because there's like, this is basically like DLC, like there's more content. So I think you should have to pay extra, but it's just confusing, like having to upgrade from PS4 to PS5 or from PS4 to PS4 as well. Like there's just all these different pricing models, but it's $10, $20, and $30 depending on, you know, which version you have and which version you want to upgrade towards. I think this is cool. 60 FPS, 4K, 3D audio on PS5, and then the PS4 version will also have some extra stuff too. So I think that's cool. I never finished this game, so I might give this a try. What do you think, Chris?
I'm looking forward to playing the new content personally. But also, this game was already stunning on the PS4, so it's going to be amazing to see what it will look like on PS5.
Yeah, it's true. So let's just do the Games with Gold games really quickly, and then we'll dive into the news proper here. One second, there we go. Okay, so PS Plus games for the month of July were announced. Here are the games for the month of July. We've got Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which is people seem to like that game. I never played it. let's see. WWE 2K Battlegrounds, the best wrestling game of all time. Chris, we were discussing how we've been watching a lot of wrestling lately.
Yeah.
I am going to play this game. So
I played it before with PlayStation Now, and it's
no good.
No bueno. Well,
here's the deal with just for the people, because a lot of people don't follow wrestling. Here's the deal with the 2K Battlegrounds. So WWE 2K20, like the numbered, you know, annual release, was hot garbage. And the reason it was hot garbage is because what's the studio that used to work on
Yuke's.
It? Yuke's, yeah. So Yuke's, they had worked on the WWE games for like God, something like 20 years or 19 years or some shit. Well, anyway, they left. Like partially through, or like, you know, ahead of this game's release, and so they got Vicarious Visions on to like kind of finish it out, and it just wasn't good. This 2K20, and then
it wasn't Vicarious Visions; it was someone else who handled like the 2K sports games, typically like 2K.
I thought it was
NBA 2K.
I thought it was. Yeah, I think that is Vicarious. Isn't that Vicarious? No, it's not.
That's Activision. Yeah.
Hold on one second. Let me get the. Okay. Oh, it is Activision. You're right. It's not Vicarious Visions. I'm a fucking. Hold on one second. 2K20. Let me make sure. Let me get the Visual Concept. I get them confused with Vicarious Visions. Yeah, you're right. Visual Concepts. Thank you for correcting me. Visual Concepts. Anyway, so they got Visual Concepts on to finish it off, and it was terrible. So instead of just doing another terrible game, in for 2020, which would have been 2K21, they opted to make this 2K Battlegrounds game, and it's this like arcade wrestling game, and the visuals are super like cartoony and stuff. And anyway, this is supposed to be really bad as well, so you guys can go check that out if you'd like. And
lots then of the microtransactions as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
loads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And then the big one is A Plague Tale Innocence for PS5, and this is only the PS5 version, by the way. So.
Mm.
You can't, if you only have a PS4, you cannot play this game. It is only for PS5, which this game's really good. A lot of people really like this game, and there's a sequel coming out as well.
Yep, Requiem.
So cool. Solid list, I guess. I mean, 2K Battlegrounds is like, I'm going to play that for the lols. I'm going
to say that a while.
Just
play it online.
Just because it's so like weird the way that game looks, and it's just bad. Yeah. Cool. All right. Games with Gold. Not a great list from what I can tell. Oh, the page not found. Okay, that's great. We have a professional podcast here. Games with Gold for July. Here's the list. Actually, this list isn't too terrible. Planet Alpha from July 1 through July 31. Rock of Ages Rock of Ages 3, Make and Break, July 16th to August 15th. Conquer, what is this? Conquer Live and Reloaded?
That's the remake.
That's
going to
be available. Yeah, July 1 through July 15th. And then Midway Arcade Origins, July 16th through 31st. You can probably hear fireworks going off on my end right now. If so, I apologize. It's that time of year.
it's just tomorrow, not today.
I know, but people just, they love, Americans love fireworks. Any
America.
Excuse.
America.
Yeah. Chris, what do you make of this list?
I like Conker. I think that Midway Collections is pretty good. I think, honestly, it's a decent month for subscribers.
It's a 79, let's see, $79.96 value and over 3,000 gamer score points. So you can go do with that with what do with that what you will.
The points don't matter, the trophies do.
God. All right, Chris. Having said all that, Chris, let's jump into some news. Are you ready for some news?
I'm ready.
Let's dive into some news. All right, so the big story, Chris, big story here. Sony has purchased Housemarc. I say it's a big story, and it is a big story because it's a big deal, but really there isn't a whole lot to talk about. Housemarc is joining the team, or has joined the team, and yeah, I'm curious to see what they make next, because Returnal, which is the Housemarc's most recent game, was such a major departure for Housemarc. Yeah. I mean, this is a team that made Super Stardust and Dead Nation, Alienation, Rezogun, which is a launch game for PS4, which is still, I think, their best game. You know, just all these arcade games, and then Returnal, which is totally different, at least from like a presentation standpoint. And I think, a couple things about this acquisition. Number one, I think Returnal did well enough to warrant Sony purchasing them. What are some other there's some other games like I can't think of any. What's that Destruction All-Stars team, Lucid or something? Evidently that game didn't do very well or whatever, you know, like, yeah. So I think the sales, I think, have a lot to do with like these acquisitions.
Metacritic as well.
And so yeah, exactly, Metacritic. So and actually, we'll talk a little bit more about Returnal later on in the show, because I've been playing more of it. And so I think now that Housemarc has the Sony money behind them, I think their next game is going to just be like even more impressive, at least from like a
I think
presentation.
So. And it point. Also yeah. gives them that security as well, because yeah. they're at that point where they're like, oh, we're going to make a battle royale because the arcade games aren't selling as well now. And this is good for the Finnish game industry as well, because they're one of two kind of big studios based in like console gaming. The other is like Remedy, you know, who make Control yeah. and all that. So I think this is a big win. As the person that I interviewed said, Teride, which means go to the square. So I think they'll be celebrating about this announcement. I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I love what you said about how they were making a battle, or they were planning on making a battle royale, which is totally like not the kind of games that they normally make or at the time. And they felt they needed to do that just from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And so now look at them, how well they're doing. I think and what I love about Returnal is that it still feels like a Housemarc game, like at its heart, because it, you know, there are all these like numbers that, right? Like they love the numbers, right? Not necessarily in terms of your like score, but there's kind of a combo meter, and there's all these like, you know, even like when you're shooting, it kind of looks arcadey and stuff. So I love that like they still were able to put their DNA of arcade games into Returnal while having this AAA quote unquote presentation.
And you also get that, you know, PlayStation is known for story-focused content, and while Returnal doesn't have that much story to it, like, they still have talent that works at Remedy as well, who are switching and, like, giving ideas to each other, you know? It's not really a competition between them. So they're getting that as well from this purchase, you know? Getting right. that big knowledge on, like, how to integrate story into gameplay in an interesting way. And I think this is great for Sony's portfolio as well, because they're very, like, oh, big open world cinematic kind of, like, games, you know? So Housemarc can deliver some, like, interesting, unique takes. And they know how to save a buck as well, because with Returnal, like, they keep using the same assets in intriguing ways, you know? Like, I think they'll continue to do that.
Yeah, and I love what you said about that, too. Like, Housemarc is they've got the gameplay part nailed down.
Yeah.
Like, they know, like, they can make a good game that feels good from a gameplay perspective. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they haven't really done a whole lot with story, and that's not a knock against them.
Yeah.
But I think now maybe they could. So, yeah. But Chris, the Sony acquisitions don't stop there.
No.
The train is just, it just keeps going.
Choo-choo.
Sony has also acquired Nixxis Software, which a lot of people, you know, probably aren't familiar with that team. So this is a team that is based in the Netherlands, and they primarily make PC ports, and they actually ported Marvel's Avengers and Deus Ex Mankind Divided and the modern Tomb Raider trilogy. And what this says to a lot of people, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this because, you know, it's kind of a lower tier story, but what this says to a lot of people is just that we're going to be seeing more PlayStation games ported to PC.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I wanted to ask you about this, Chris, is what do you think this means in terms of the timing of things? And what I mean by that is, do you think we'll ever see a time when, you know, The Last of Us Part 3 or whatever the next big, you know, marquee PlayStation game is, do you think we'll ever see a time when that comes out on PC day and date with PlayStation?
I think we'll see it. Because Xbox, they're bringing all their games day one to the PC. And, like, if they're clever, they could integrate PlayStation Now to PC by either streaming or download, you know? So, like, just like Xbox is doing. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so, right. I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know. I don't know what the inner workings are on the back end to make all that happen. But if you are right, if that is going to be a thing, I think it's probably going to be a little while because.
Yeah, but
like they just acquired the studio, you know. So like.
Yeah, I don't think the systems are the way they make the money though. I think it's just the services, like having the games available on PlayStation Network and. You know, that's pure profit for them, you know? And then, yeah. I don't know, just like having their games available on different services and such, you know, I think that'd be a great deal.
Yeah.
Steam, so, like Horizon Zero Dawn was like one of the top selling games on Steam at that time when it released, like that month. And, you know, that's a 4 or 5 year old game, so there's obvious interest in PlayStation stuff, you know, from people who obviously wouldn't buy a PS4 or a PS5, you know, they want to play on PC, but they don't want to buy a console to play those games.
You know what I wonder too, and I'm not a businessman, so I don't know if this is accurate, but I wonder if staggering that release is almost like giving it a second, like, marketing push, right?
Yeah.
Like for example, if it came out, and there's probably a lot of research that goes into this, I'm not sure, but if there's a game that is coming out on a console and then it also comes out on PC, I wonder if the game does better or worse that way versus putting it out on console, then waiting 6 months and then putting it out on PC and making that a big deal. Like, I wonder if that leads to more sales. Maybe, I don't know, but it's something that's, I think, interesting to think about.
I don't know.
But Chris, the acquisitions don't stop there. Well, maybe they do, I don't know. This one's a little weird. So this was funny. The morning Housemarque, the announcement that Housemarque was acquired, Sony Japan tweeted out this image, and the image was, it said, "Welcome to the family," and it had the PlayStation logo there, but instead it said Blue Point on the image, and there is a picture of the cover of Demon's Souls. And but in the tweet it said thank you know welcome to the family Housemarque.
Welcome but anyway, to the family, son.
Yeah. So but anyway, people were thinking like, and I mean obviously we've been talking about Blue Point being acquired by Sony anyway for the past like several years. People were thinking, oh, they're gonna announce this coming soon, right? And going by the logic of like Returnal, right? Like Returnal did really evidently did well enough to warrant this purchase. Well, I mean Demon's Souls did well too, right? So like if it's just, I mean there's probably a number of factors, and there's a bunch of interviews you can read and stuff about like the acquisition. Sony wants to purchase studios that it's already familiar with.
Yeah,
well I think Blue Point makes a hell of a lot of sense. So, I mean, I think we could be seeing this, the announcement that Blue Point is acquired soon, you know? So, what do you think, Chris?
I think this is inevitability, you know? I think it's smart on PlayStation's part to purchase them. They can expand, like, they can bring back old IP that people are interested in and then see if they work in the current landscape. And then, you know, it's good for us because then we can play these old games like Jak and Daxter or, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they could work on the next Demon's Souls, like Demon's Souls 2. You know, if they felt confident enough in the studio to make a new game because they know the game inside and out, you know?
Right. Like, I was thinking something kind of like, I don't know, like Sly Cooper, for example. Like, we haven't had a new Sly Cooper in a while. It's tough to say, like, if people would be interested in that. Or at least, it's tough to say if people would be interested in that and have, like, data to back that up, right? So I think, and this is common in the video game industry, we always see this, is a remake comes out, or a remaster or whatever, to gauge interest, and then a couple years later, if it, you know, if the remake sold well enough, we might get a follow-up, right?
Yeah.
So, like, for example, Sly Cooper, like, Blue Point could, like, bring, you know, remake from the ground up the original Sly Cooper or something and make it amazing, and then if that sells well, we could, like, maybe get a new Sly Cooper. Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, and I could definitely see Bloodborne getting a remaster from them as well at some point. But,
God, people have been talking about that for years.
So
it's so funny, too, because I never used to be, like, a frame rate guy or whatever. But, like, Demon's Souls is the most recent Souls game I've played. It was. And then I went back to play Bloodborne, and I was just like, dude, this is, like, almost unplayable with this frame rate. Frame rate and it's just because I was so used to Demon's Souls and how buttery smooth that game ran. So I'm sorry to say this, I think I'm a frame rate guy now.
That's the worst thing that can happen to somebody. Nah, I'm a frame rate guy as well, don't worry about it.
Okay, well anyway, I hope Blue Point gets acquired. I think that'd be great. But the partnerships don't stop there, Chris.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to like make this segue work. Here we go. Let me pull up this story here. And actually, I'm going to get a little drinky poo here. Well, not a drinky poo, but a drink. A drinky poo is alcoholic, but we'll have a drink. I've got a Spindrift sparkling water. Here we go. We haven't done this on the show in a while.
Oh, is it happening? Yes! Hey, there it is.
It tastes a little bit like carbonated cleaner.
I did. Like, that's not good.
Yeah. So at least my insides feel all clean. Okay, here we go. Konami and Bloober Team announced partnership amid Silent Hill leaks. This is a story from VGC. Chris Scullion. We'll read a little bit of this. I don't want to steal the clicks from VGC, but we'll read some of this. Konami and Bloober Team have signed a new, quote, strategic cooperation agreement that will see the companies create games together. The new partnership between the Silent Hill publisher and the Medium developer will include, quote, jointly developing selected contents and exchanging know-how, end quote. That is a fucking, what the fuck kind of a sentence is that? All right. This isn't VGC fucking that up, by the way. That is just how...
That's a very that Konami thing. That's...
Right, yeah. Let me read that again. Quote, jointly developing selected contents and exchanging know-how. End quote. According to a statement released by Bloober Team. Oh, that was Bloober Team. Well, but maybe it was still Konami who helped write that. Anyway, in a separate release, Konami said it was, quote, excited to work with Bloober Team and other highly regarded development partners to produce games from existing and new IPs, end quote. According to people with knowledge of Bloober's plans, one of the projects it's working on is Silent Hill related. However, VGC understands that Konami has already outsourced at least one other Silent Hill project to a prominent developer in Japan, and there could be even more developers working on their own projects. I have so much to say about this. Bloober Team CEO Piotr Babino commented on the deal, quote, It is a historic day for me and the culmination of several years of our work. The fact that such a renowned company as Konami has decided to strategically cooperate with Bloober Team means that we have also joined the world's leaders in gaming and become an equal partner for leading for the leading players in this market. End quote. Yeah, we'll leave it there. Okay. So, Chris, there's a few things I wanted to say about this.
I called it.
You did call it. That's true. You get credit for that. The one thing is that, yeah, there's this whole weird thing going on where there's, like, another team that was apparently working on Silent Hill as well. This was, like, earlier this year. I think I reported on this for some website. I can't remember. But, yeah, basically, the VGC had confirmed it separately, had its own sources confirm that Konami had, like, outsourced Silent Hill to its own Japanese studio. But then also there were, like, the rumors about the Bloober Team, and then now apparently this is real. So, like, basically, like, are there two Silent Hill games coming out? And if so, I think maybe one of them could be a remake.
Yeah.
And then maybe another one could be, like, a fully fledged sequel or something like that. Yeah, so that's one thing I wanted to talk about. The other thing I wanted to talk about is how you think a Bloober Silent Hill game would be.
I think it's a match made in heaven, honestly. From the atmospheric nature of the medium and Observer, I think this could be really good because it's a psychological horror. Bloober Team know how to make those kind of games, and I think it's going to be a home run. I also find it interesting they said games. So, do they mean, like, multiple games in the Silent Hill franchise? Or do they mean, like, other franchises?
Yeah. As other franchises. Can only have. Could be. That's a good point.
Can't wait to see that Never Dead game.
Great observation there. Yeah. So, I'm with you. I think Bloober Team has it in them to make a good Silent Hill game.
Yeah.
My hang-up... So, like, I've only played the medium from Bloober, and I liked the medium. I thought it was good, and I thought it was a great idea, but one of my biggest problems with it is just that static camera. And for I don't know if the game would have worked if it had a you know, regular, like, 3D camera. Maybe, I don't know, but I guess that's my point. I want, if they're making a Silent Hill game, which it seems like they are, I want, like, a 3D camera. I know that's, like, a dumb thing to, like, wish for. Like, every game has a 3D camera now. But, like, the medium didn't. And, like, I want it to feel like a modern game, you know?
I think it's going to be, like, Resident Evil 2 remake. You know, we're going to see that resurgence of horror games coming out. And I think Silent Hill is going to be one of them. Perhaps. Like, they had budget constraints with multiple projects of theirs, so if Konami forks up the cash, you know, from their machines,
which no, but that's not that's real though. They're making, like, bank on those pachinko machines and pachinko, Yu-Gi-Oh, I guess they make. I guess they make and money on Yu-Gi-Oh. So anyway,
they could bring them.
And then the other thing I wanted to mention too is, so it seems like Konami is, like, not interested in making games in-house anymore, which is fine. Like, if they don't want to make the game, then don't make the game, right? It would be it might be bad if they didn't want to make it and then they made it anyway, right? So it seems like they're wanting to outsource and hit up their, you know, hit their other franchises. So what are their other franchises? Metal Gear.
Can you imagine, like, that Xbox Kojima game being Metal Gear Solid 6? Can you imagine that? I know there's that friction, but maybe they could fix it. Maybe they could apologize.
Dude, I don't know, man.
Like,
I mean,
what if that's real? What if that's a possibility?
I don't know. From what I understand, Kojima is, like, not interested in making Metal Gear anymore.
I know.
But from a money point of view, I mean, that would just be fucking in. I mean, at some point, you would have to think, like, eventually, if enough money were offered to Kojima, he would do it, right?
I think that he might have that bug. Like, it's like...
Maybe.
It's like Masahiro Sakurai with Super Smash Brothers. Like, he says, I'm done with it, but...
And then...
I'm making a sick one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's real. I would love it if that were real, but I don't think so. But what are the franchises? There's Castlevania. We haven't had a new Castlevania game.
Can you imagine after Elden Ring? Like,
right?
From Software makes a Castlevania game?
Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome. yeah, and then Metal Gear, obviously, and then Silent Hill. Those are kind of the three big games, right? Like, that everybody wants. And,
I'm trying to think of others.
I mean, yeah, there are. I mean, there's, like, Bomberman, whatever. Like, yeah. Konami does, you know, they have a lot of games under their belt, but I think those are the three big games that...
Yeah.
Like, dude, I just want a new 2D Castlevania game. Like, so badly. So badly. The last Castlevania game we got was Lords of Shadow 2. And that game was a hot, steaming pile of garbage.
I thought it was okay.
Well, it wasn't Castlevania.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't feel like Castlevania. Maybe that was harsh. It's not a hot steaming pile of garbage, but it is certainly not Castlevania. And here's the thing with Metal Gear. I love Metal Gear so much. Like, when I think of, like, video games, like, Metal Gear is, like, one of the first things I think about, because that to me is, like, such a special franchise. But I don't know that I want another one if it's not made by, like, Kojima, or at least, like, people who are experienced with that, you know?
Well, if it's, like, a spin-off, like...
I don't know.
I just thought of a crazy idea as well. What if Silent Hill made a Dance Dance Revolution game?
Oh, my fucking God. You're just, like, thinking of, like, other Konami franchises now. Anyway, so I think this is cool, and I would obviously Silent Hill is going to come back, and it looks like at least Bloober Team is working on one, possibly another Japanese studio. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens with that. Moving on here, Chris, this is just going to be a little quick story here. Xbox Cloud Gaming is available for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscribers. And this is really cool. I wish Josh were on the show to talk about it a little bit more, because he is obviously our Xbox person.
Xbox
Game Pass. I just got this story here. So anyway, what's really cool about this, this Xbox Cloud Gaming is that, you know, there's no need for, like, downloading stuff, and so you can play all these games, like, just streaming to your phone or whatever, from a browser, or PC or iPad, tablet, whatever. So there's a statement from Microsoft here. I'm just going to read a little bit of this here. Quote, starting today, Xbox Cloud Gaming is available to all Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members with Windows 10 PCs and Apple phones and tablets via browser across 22 countries. So you can stream at up to 1080 and 60 frames per second, up to 60 frames per second. kind of depends on your internet. And I think this is really cool. And I think this is, again, like, sort of proof that Microsoft is thinking more so about its services than it is selling you a box, you know?
Yeah.
And I think eventually it may get to, I mean, this might be years down the road, but it may be where there are no consoles. It's just everything will be streaming.
I think that's 10 years away. I don't think that's going to be. Oh, next
maybe more
generation.
Than that. Yeah. No.
Because I tried xCloud on PC, actually, with Forza Horizon 4. It's rough, yeah. Dude. It's not good. I've got to get into that. So,
yeah.
It's still. Stops and starts, you know, it's not perfect.
And that's sort of the biggest hurdle. But I think if you were, like, living in Japan or something where the internet is, like, amazing, you know, so like Japan has that technology, right? So, like, that's proof that it can be done. It's just, we need to kind of get that over here in the States and over in Canada and stuff. But anyway, I think it's cool that that exists. You know, it may not work very well, but look at how much technology has progressed just in the past 10 years, right?
Yeah.
This is going to work at some point, you know? So I think that's really cool. I'm sorry again about the fireworks. I'm sure you guys can hear that. We're celebrating our independence, I guess.
Yeah. From me.
From you, yeah. The independence from you, you specifically. Chris, let's wrap up the news here with one last story. And Chris, this warms my black evil heart, I've got to say. This makes me so happy. We've got another story from VGC here. This is Andy Robinson. Dead Space 4 is reportedly, quote, a full remake inspired by recent Resident Evil games. We're going to read a little bit of this and we'll discuss. Again, I wish Josh were on the show here to talk about it because Josh loves Dead Space. But nonetheless, quote, Electronic Arts unannounced Dead Space game is reportedly, quote, a fully fledged remake, end quote, inspired by Capcom's recent Resident Evil games. That's according to a new report on GamesBeat, which corroborates Gamatsu's earlier claims that a new sci-fi horror installment is in development at EA's Motive Studio, which we talked about this before. The new report claims that for its Dead Space reboot, Motive is taking notes from Capcom's recent Resident Evil remakes. Quote, like Resident Evil 2 Remake, expect the next Dead Space to use the original game as a strong foundation, but it should also have modern visuals. And it will likely bring in new gameplay mechanics inspired by other entries in the franchise, end quote, the publication claims. Quote, and speaking of Capcom, it is likely a major reason a new Dead Space is happening. While EA has let its horror franchise wither, the Resident Evil series is larger than ever, and Capcom has provided an easy blueprint for EA to follow, end quote. Okay. So this will apparently be announced during EA Play Live?
Yeah.
Which is happening later this month. Yeah, man, this is awesome. But you know what's interesting, and we talked about this, I think, on the last episode, is I don't know that, like, Dead Space 1 needs a remake in the way that Resident Evil 2 needed a remake, right? Because, like, Dead Space 1 came out, I think, in 2008 or 2007 or something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a little rough, but it's
dated, yeah.
It's dated, but it doesn't play as badly as trying to play Resident Evil 2 mm-hmm. in, like, 2019, the original, felt, right? Just with the static camera and the visuals and stuff. So, I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know that, like, the original Dead Space needs a remake in the way Dead Space 2, I keep fucking up the names, that Resident Evil 2 needed a remake, but I'm totally down. I mean, yeah, like, let me give you money for this. I will purchase this immediately.
My theory is that it's a litmus test, just like you were saying before, where it's like,
yeah,
okay, if this remake does well, we'll make new Dead Space games. You know, because right. Dead Space 3 didn't particularly set the world on fire, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. Going back to the basics, going back to what made Dead Space so great, is gonna help the franchise, I think, and rebirth it. Because, like, can you think of many EA franchises that you absolutely love? Like, I don't think, like, you could probably put them on the hand, you know?
Yeah. Well, Dead Space is certainly one of them.
Dead Space, Skate, which is also coming back.
I wouldn't say I love, but I'm really glad that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Battlefield, maybe?
Yeah, I would say I love Battlefield. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. A lot of people love Mass Effect. I never really got into Mass Effect.
Right, Dragon Age as well.
Yeah, Dragon Age, obviously. I'm looking at EA franchises here.
People love Apex. The Sims. Yeah.
People love The Sims. Apex, obviously. And then FIFA, but so I would say Battlefield and Dead Space. Yeah, man. I'm so pumped. I mean, I don't care what this is, as long as it's not, like, you know, a shooter, which
yeah,
I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be survival horror. Yeah, man. Like, and dude, imagine
the HDR and all that. And
yeah. Oh man. I just keep thinking about, like, cause this is, I assume this is, Jeff Grubb here. Let me pull the original article. Yeah, this is Jeff Grubb. If this is true, and it's taking cues from Resident Evil 2, I mean, this could be, like, one of the great games of all time.
Yeah.
Because Resident Evil 2 Remake is It might be my favorite game of all time, that remake, you know? And I think if this is, like, beat for beat, like, the same game, because like, Resident Evil 2 cut a little content, you know? If this is, like, the same game, just rebuilt from the ground up, I think that could be, like, one of my favorite games of all time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Cool. Anything else, Chris, on this before we take a little break?
I know Motive has proved itself to be a pretty good developer, and I think that's the rumored people behind it. You know, they've been helping with Star Wars Squadrons and all sorts of games like that. So I think they have the chops to do it.
Yeah, I do too. Very excited. Okay, Chris, let's take a little break, mm-hmm. and then when we come back, we will talk about what we've been playing. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. Normally, this is the part of the show where we answer your listener questions, but because it was a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a dry news week, but dry in terms of discussion, I guess. We don't have any questions to get through now, but that means we can just jump right into what we've been playing. Chris, do you want to talk about Death's Door? I've heard a lot of good things about this.
Yeah, it's awesome, and you'll love it, I think. So I was able to get a preview code from Devolver Digital for Retroware, so go read my preview there. But Death's Door is like a Zelda-like mixed with Dark Souls kind of like designs, basically. So it's like you play as this crow who he's like it's a reaper of souls who takes away like big souls from big bosses and stuff, and he finally gets his like big break, and then this soul is kind of ripped away from him, so now he must go on this journey after a series of certain events to take out like three different bosses throughout the world. It's very much like Zelda because it's top down. You take out enemies, something I want to praise this game immediately for is like the variety of enemies you'll face. So it doesn't really feel get boring, you know. And it's you constantly have to use your mind and you know your wits to figure out how to beat them. The bosses are absolutely stunning. They're amazing. They're cinematic in nature, I guess. They're very big, like these bosses. So you gotta, they look very daunting, and it's very exciting to go against them. The art style has like this almost shell shaded look. Tim Burton kind of look.
It's creepy. Yeah,
it's creepy.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Man, this is beautiful. This game. So what's the deal? It's in preview right now?
Yeah, I got a preview code of it, but it is coming out this month, so it's coming very short, very shortly. It's coming to Xbox systems and PC, so it's not coming to PlayStation, unfortunately. But it's a very cool game. The puzzles are kind of minor, but they're still enjoyable. You get to use like different elements, like fire, in addition to like the bow and the sword so far from how much I've played of it so far. But there's like three different tools at your disposal as you go through the game. So it's a very cool game so far. I've enjoyed my time with it, and like I love how detailed it is, and like the environments, how creepy they look, and you could tell there's a lot of passion behind this.
Yeah, so this will be out July 20th, Xbox Series S and X and One, mm-hmm. and PC. Interesting. I looked it up, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but this doesn't look like it's coming out on Game Pass.
I don't think so, but I'll look into that.
No, yeah, I don't think it is. It's so funny now. It's like so many games launch on on Game Pass or like are available on Game Pass that now it's like, oh, this game isn't on Game Pass.
This game's indie, weird. So it's coming on Game Pass, right?
Yeah, you would think. damn, these fireworks are going crazy. Go America, I guess. Yeah, this looks rad. I can't wait to try this out.
It was that close. All right.
God, it sounds like it's like going off over my head. I hope the listeners are not hating this here. Okay, Chris, what else? What else?
Yeah, I played Super Smash Bros. Ultimate because a recent character came out, Kazuya. This character is very fun to play. It perfectly replicates what Kazuya is like in Tekken. Like, they replicated all the moves in a very impressive manner. And I know he's just very powerful and strong to play. Like, it's so fun just to wreck someone's day with like a heavy punch or something, or or doing like a tornado kick. Like, it's very satisfying to play him as him. And yeah, like, his addition is very fun. And also the Tekken music is awesome. Love it.
Yeah,
love
it. I just want to like take a step back and like just look at this game's roster.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I know.
Like. Okay, I played Smash Bros. For the game, the N64 when it first came out, right? And there's like 8 characters in that game, or 9 or something. And I'm just trying to imagine, like, comparing that, right, to what this game is now. It's like insane, all these characters in this game. And so, like, whenever people get mad, you know, about, like, whatever character didn't get added and stuff, I'm just like, dude, this is, like, this game's amazing.
It's a miracle.
That there are 80 characters from, like, different franchises, right? And it works as well as it does. So, Chris, there's one character left to be added to the game. And yep. I've got 2 questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do, like, an E3 style thing. Which character do you want to be added? And which character, realistically, do you think will be added?
I think the first answer is very obvious, but it's Sora for me. And yeah. I kind of have hope it might be him, because having a 6th character to the second Fighters Pass when the first one was 5 is interesting to me. Like, it seems like it was a last-minute decision. And we heard from Imran Khan that, you know, there were issues with getting the rights to Sora from Disney. So what if they made a deal last minute to get him in, you know, and that was the 6th character? But
yeah,
I don't know. But realistically, I think it's going to be Waluigi.
Oh, man. I think that'd be so awesome. Oh, man. I think that'd be great.
But, you know what? It doesn't matter who it is at this point, because I'm just happy with what we've got. You know,
yeah, I think that's a great
Sora,
way to look at
we
it.
We won't have Rayman, but there's a lot of great characters in there.
Why do you think Waluigi?
He's a first-party character, so it'd be easy to access, and a lot of people have asked for him. But I do have hope for Sora, because he has been on top of the polls for a long time. And, like, whenever you see, like, the polls and what characters have been included, there's, like, a correlation at most points. So, I don't know, it'd be cool to see him there, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised Waluigi isn't in the game already. Like,
he is an assist trophy, so that's what makes people think maybe not. But if it's not Waluigi, I would maybe say Ryu Hayabusa, just because of how, I don't know.
Oh.
The reason why is because Tecmo Koei. They always constantly change the names. Koei Tecmo or Tecmo Koei, but you know what I'm talking about. They've made multiple Nintendo games now. They've made the Hyrule Warriors franchise, you know?
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
I don't know. They've supported Nintendo quite a bit recently, so I could see them getting rewarded with Ryu being in the game.
I could totally see Ryu in Smash.
Yeah. It's like the last big classic character we haven't seen at all in the game.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's a solid choice. Yeah, I think that's way more likely than Sora, unfortunately. I'm sorry to say that, but yeah.
You know what? After playing the first Ninja Gaiden game, you know, the classic stuff. No, not the classic stuff, the modern stuff, the relatively modern stuff.
Yeah.
I'd be down for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those games are good. They're just real hard. Cool. That's awesome, Chris. I'm happy for you. I'm not a big Smash guy, but I can at least recognize that game is just incredible.
Like, it's awesome.
I can't believe all those characters.
It's just,
oh man,
it's kind of sad though, because it feels like it's the end. Like, after after this next character, I think it's done. Because what else can they do from here? You know? That won't like a sequel to this. Like, how can you top it?
Right. Well, you're gonna see a new Smash game eventually. Might be 10 years from now. But
I think it would change genres. I think it's gonna change to a 3D fighter instead of a platform fighter.
Whoa, that's all right. That's a topic for another episode.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Chris. I just want to talk a little bit about Returnal. So after this news of Housemarque being acquired by Sony, I was like, God damn it! I was like, I need to give this Returnal game one more try. And just to let everybody know my history with Returnal, I bought this day one because I love Housemarque, and played it for a couple hours. Couldn't beat the first boss. I got to the first boss, couldn't beat it. Put it down. A couple weeks later, maybe a month or something later, tried it again. Same deal. Couldn't beat the boss. Put it down again. Tried it one more time in the middle of my move, which my mind was just not in the right place for that. Couldn't beat it. I'm like, God, I guess I'll never play this game. So then when the news of Housemarque being acquired was announced, I was like, dude, I need to give this game one. If I can't get it after this try, then it is not for me. And I spent, I don't know, probably about 4 hours or so, something like that. In total, I think I've played the game up to the first boss for like 8 hours, and I finally beat the boss, and I posted this video on Twitter of me beating the boss, and if you watch the video, I was one shot away from being killed.
Oh, like, God.
Like literally I had one, like a tiny little sliver, like, this game is really tough, but now that I've gotten to the second biome, it opens up a little bit more in terms of like your powers and stuff, and I just feel like way more powerful now, right? And so I think once you get over that first boss, it kind of is like easier from there.
Do you have to play the first boss again?
Well, so no, you don't, but I thought you did, and I was about to throw my controller out the window. So basically what happens is as soon as you beat the first boss, you get this item, and that'll take you to the second biome. Well, I was playing through the second biome, but I didn't have that much health because I had just beat the boss, right? And so my health was like really, really low. And so this whole run in the second biome, I'm like, ugh, I'm like kind of like, you know, one or two shots from being killed, right? So, and I got actually pretty far, all things considered. But anyway, I died. And when I respawned, you respawn back in the first biome.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
And I was like, oh no, like I knew it was a roguelike, but I didn't know you were gonna have to start at the very beginning. I thought you just restart from the beginning of the biome, whatever. So I was like, oh no. But anyway, what you can do is you can just go directly to the second biome. You have to find it, but you don't actually have to beat the boss. You just go directly
That's
to that room.
Awesome. Okay,
wherever it is.
I might be more willing to play it now, so it's not like Hades, you don't have to beat that boss, but
yeah exactly, yeah,
second part. Awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that really helps. And the other cool thing is when you, as soon as you get to the second biome, they give you an item. It's there every time that boosts your weapon proficiency to 5 immediately.
Great.
So like your weapons automatically do more damage once you get there. And like there are, and like stuff like that happens as you progress through each biome. So eventually, like, you know, when you get, and I think there's like kind of a more open section after you beat the game. I think you can like have high end gear and like still play the earlier biomes to like shred through enemies and stuff. Anyway, I think this game is like really good. I think it's a little too hard, but just from a design, like a visual design point of view, I've never really seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Like, the main character looks realistic and stuff, but, like, the rest of the game, it's, like, almost, like, it's got, it's like the Matrix or something. It has its own style, and I love it. I love, I've never seen anything like this, and I think it is so cool.
It's like a mixture between Avatar, the, you know, like, James Cameron, and, like, Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the creatures look kind of, like, otherworldly, but there's also, like, this dark and weird atmosphere to it as well.
Yeah, and it's like kind of scary. It's like a little bit scary. Like some of the creatures are like, yeah, especially because the game is so dark. Well, the second biome is not dark at all. It's so funny because you beat the, you spend so much time on that first biome, and then you get to the second one, and it's like a desert. It's like super light. And I love that dichotomy. And I don't know what the rest of this game looks like. I haven't looked at any videos or anything. So now that I have seen that huge stark contrast, I'm like thinking about, oh, what's the third biome going to look like? I don't know that I'm going to beat this game just because of how much trouble I had on the first area.
Yeah.
But I think this game is excellent. I just wish it were easier because so many players probably dropped off before the first boss.
That's how I feel about Dark Souls and Demon Souls and that stuff. Because I can see it's a fantastic game. I just can't enjoy it. I just can't.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird too, though. I actually think this is harder than like Dark Souls and stuff. Which a lot of people who haven't played both of these games will probably be like, how can anything be harder than Dark Souls? I don't know. But the thing about Dark Souls is, number one, you can grind and eventually like get over leveled. And number two, you can do co-op. And that makes things a lot easier. In Returnal, not only can you not do either of those things, but it's also a roguelike, and like you could just get shit RNG and like just even if you're like objectively a really good player, if you get bad RNG, it's like you might still be able to get through, but you're gonna have a hard time.
I've got to watch a speedrun for this as well.
I don't know if you can speedrun a game like this. Like, but it's so weird because like the map layout is different every time. I don't know that you could speedrun it.
That's what makes it so fascinating, I think, for a speedrun.
Right.
Because like it's completely randomized, but there is an endpoint.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I think this game is fantastic, and I'm glad that I stuck with it. But if you're somebody who couldn't do that, I totally get that because I just think this game the difficulty is it's slight. Like I feel like if it were like just a notch or two down, I think that would be better. Like I was thinking about this. Like in any given biome, I think maybe they give you like 10 health items. If they bump that up to maybe 13 or 15 or something like that, that would really help. Or like just throw you a bone. Like there are these items you pick up and most of them hurt you. it's called a parasite or a malignant or something. Yeah. And like that sucks. Or like there's this room and it's a pool, and when you first walk into it, you're like, oh, a pool, let me jump into that, and it like you take damage, you know, like you're not supposed to jump into the pool yet, you have to have the swimming ability. Well, you don't know that when you first play the game. So like most of the stuff, like it there's like traps and shit everywhere,
but that's what makes it fun though, is the discoverability, just like the Souls games. There's
I guess so. I just wish there were like fewer traps. Like it seems like the game is out to get you.
It would be good like after multiple failures, like if you failed like 20 times, it gives you like a handicap of some kind that like that gives the world a handicap, so you can perform better or you're able to get through it a bit quicker. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that would be cool. Anyway, I'm excited to play more of this game. I can't stop thinking about it. I think it's great. I just think it's a little too hard, but I'm going to try to stick with it, and hopefully I can finish it, because I do think it's great. All right, Chris, that's all I've got. I was playing Doki Doki Literature Club, but I don't know. It's so anime, man. Like I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. No, I think I'm going to try to get through it. I'm like an hour in or something. I don't know. Anyway. So other than that, that's all I've been playing. Chris, thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Hope you have a good weekend. I was going to say, hope you have a good 4th of July, but that doesn't make any sense.
It was hard to celebrate Canada Day this year just because of the whole, they found the bodies of some, I don't know, First Nation kids that were taken away from their parents for residential schools. Yeah. And it was
the whole thing. Yeah.
It's not good.
Well, Chris, hope you have a good weekend. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your time. Where can people find you when you're not on ActiveQuest?
You can find me on RetroWare, TechRaptor, all sorts of websites, GamePer as well. I'm writing a lot of guides for them there, so keep an eye out for my stuff. I'm still working on that Fanbyte article. It's going to come out eventually. We're working on it. But I'm looking forward to sharing it. So if you want to keep up with me, just follow me at PenwellWrites and I'll share details there. You can also listen to Go Beyond the My Hero Academia podcast each and every Wednesday. My I don't know where that voice came from. It sounded more like Joker. We go through each and every episode of the show. It's a rewatch show. So if you're new to My Hero, you might want to watch the whole thing and then listen to the show. But yeah, we compare the anime to the manga. We have deep discussions of what it all means for the show and the world of the show. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We make a lot of jokes. Thorne's hilarious. I'm not so, but I'm still. I think I'm kind of funny. So yeah, you can go check out the podcast there regardless.
All right. I'm still making my way through that first season and I'm doing it slowly. I don't like marathoning through
Same.
Shows. I like,
yeah, like my dad, like watching, he's been, like, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, I like watching just one episode a day and or something like that. Like, yeah.
My dad's been binging Star Trek Enterprise. And
holy
like
moly.
Whenever he's watching that, like it's so exciting to watch it. Like I have to sit down for like 3 hours and I hate him for it.
Like right. Shit, I have shit to do. Yeah. God. Yeah. All right, for me, you can find me on Twitter at Joseph Yaden. You can find my stuff over at Digital Trends and Inverse, Games Radar as well. In terms of stuff I have in the works that I wanna promote. I just reviewed Mario Golf. You guys can check out my review over at Inverse there. What else? I think that's pretty much it. You can catch me listening to the new Between the Buried and Me song ahead of their Colors 2 record, which to the listeners who are Between the Buried and Me fans, you know how big of a deal that is. Colors 2 is happening. That's very exciting.
Sonic Colors 2?
Yeah, Sonic Colors 2 by Between the Buried and Me. What else? I'm going to go make buffalo chicken dip for my 4th of July gathering tomorrow. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Chris, thank you for sticking around for this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we will catch you on the next one, episode 127. Bye, everybody.
Xbox Game Pass.
Game Pass. The best deal.
The best deal.
Just the best deal. Not only in gaming, but just the best deal ever.
Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.